Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
Welcome, seekers, to podcast number 81 of God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. We sincerely hope that this moment finds you well and that the grace, peace, and love of the Most High is flooding your life right now.
All right, and our shout outs this week are to Charles and Kirk and Sean and Tawana and Blake. You guys who have been listening since, you know, the first of this, we sometimes forget to give a shout out to you guys, but we love having you on board and we love your interaction.
And let me go ahead and say too, if you guys want to see what we look like, our grandson Blake, the Blake Thomas Band, that's what it is on YouTube. You can go to YouTube. It's called, it is just not the, it is just Blake Thomas Band. And you'll see it. There'll be many concerts in there. There should be three released and hopefully maybe four after today. And, Tabitha is the bass player and Trayson is the keyboard player and I'm doing the old guy doing the lead guitar in that group, Blake Thomas Band. Shouldn't need to spell that. It's just, and you can do it one word, it'll come up, but it's on YouTube. I just thought I'd throw that. I've got the quote right. Okay, so most of us experience a life full of wonderful moments and difficult moments, but for many of us, even when we are most joyful, there is fear behind our joy. And Tabby, can you see who that, I can't pronounce that name,
Thich Nhat Hanh. I don't know, that was horrible.
But think about, but you not think that's a true, such a true quote? There's always a fear, even in our highest joy, we
and
have a fear.
You have never read any of the writings of Thich Nhat Hanh?
Oh, well, try didn't I have Trayson pronounce that.
Yeah, should have been better.
He has some really, really great writings.
Was I wasn't awesome even going to try that. I take it he's Oriental.
Yes, he's Buddhist.
Okay.
He's
Buddhist.
Okay, so last episode we discussed unconditional love. And our request on all our behalves is that we all discover God's unconditional love, that we embrace it and we radiate it out and that it returns right back to us.
There you go. We got karma, love, law of attraction, all that, right? Yes. Unconditional love, only one there.
All right, so let's dive into segment one because today's topic is actually to fill a request from one of our listeners.
And I love it. I love it when we get requests from the listeners. Yeah.
After listening to our episode on spiritual awakening that we posted a few weeks ago, Natalie suggested that we dedicate an episode to talking about raising our children to become seekers. And wow, that was a great suggestion, Natalie, and we're going to dive into it.
So keeping in mind that we aren't experts and we have no degrees in child development or psychology, here goes. First of all, to every mom and dad listening out there, whoever it may be that is feeling the responsibility as spiritual leaders of the household, hats off to you. That includes grandma and grandpa and aunties and uncles and foster parents and whoever I may have missed.
Okay, so what suggestions might we have for a person who wants to raise their child in a way that he or she may be able to seek out God in their own way and develop a healthy, rewarding spiritual life? Well, let's start by saying nothing is more important in any child's development, in our opinion, than unconditional love. And not the casual cliches like, well, my children know I love them and I'd do anything for them. While this may be true, is it love in motion? Do they know it? We suspect that there are parents out there who say that to the others, but the children themselves might not be so sure.
No, and kids need that clear, defined, I know my parents love me because And whether it's just they take a little bit of time out of their day to play this game that I want to play or to watch this movie with me that I want to watch, kids see love by action.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's in motion. It's love in motion, not by word.
Yes.
You know, not, I think they're in there quoting the Bible itself, not merely in word, but in deed.
Yes. So let's start by talking about boundaries. Most of our parenting is about setting boundaries, sort of like fencing our children in to protect them from the things outside the yard fence and to protect them from themselves by wandering off or getting into harm's way. And as they develop and gain life experience and grow, we open the door to more space and new experiences, but we're still not absent from boundaries. We just open the yard gate, allowing them to enter this other fenced-in area. And at what rate and age we allow this expansion is really subjective to each child's nature and their temperament.
So, as parents, it is very easy for us to see our only duty is that of setting boundaries. Now, I was that with you girls very much, and my young, it was just about protecting you and setting the boundaries.
Well, and I always told people growing up, I'm like, we don't have rules at our house, but we do have understanding.
Yeah. We may, and that's what a lot of us think, that we just think that that's our duty, just set these boundaries. Mm-hmm. And we may stifle them by not seeking opportunities to allow them to enlarge or expand. Children will always need boundaries, but they also need encouragement to develop. We're not only their protectors, we're responsible for a healthy and balanced self-image and a worldview. And, you know, we often view any childhood problem, I found, it's a lack of discipline. They just need to discipline. I think most of it is not a lack of discipline. It's a lack of that child knowing they're loved.
Yes.
I see behavior problems in children. They're acting out. They're wanting loved, and they'll take any attention.
If the only attention that they get is when they're in trouble, that's
they'll
what,
take. They'll yes, take that. They'll take if they can't get any other way, they'll take that.
So the church is probably a good place to start. I mean, after all, it does reinforce the concept of God. But it's good to have dialogue with our children. When they bring a Bible or spiritual question to us, we should give it plenty of thought and be careful how we answer. I mean, they may ask the hard questions, mine have, like, if God made everything, then who made God? Or where is God? If God is so good, why is there so much bad? And it can go on and on. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, it's likely that you are a seeker and you've had a spiritual awakening yourself. So draw from your own experience for your answers. And sometimes saying, I don't know the answer to that question myself, is a legitimate answer.
Sure. And even admit, you know, I'm still trying to figure that.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that, son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, if we happen to be a seeker who grew up in the church ourselves, we have an advantage. We know what areas of teaching the church has that may attempt to stifle spiritual curiosity and growth outside of a particular doctrine or dogma. Help your children distinguish between the church as an organization and God as our personal friend. We should draw on our experience by remembering the things in the church that conflicted us and held us back, and be willing to help our children over those obstacles as they occur.
And anything else?
Well, and I did want to say here too, something that I feel like parents kind of, particularly in church, tend to really hesitate with is, it's like we don't want kids to explore other religions and other cultures and their beliefs and stuff because we're afraid that it will sort of cloud their mind or something. But I think that's a really important thing. If they're curious about another religious culture or something like that, to kind of let them dive into it and see.
Well, we do.
And isn't that
Go ahead.
Isn't that showing insecurity in our own beliefs?
It is.
Well,
yes.
What if they go over here
If we really knew ours was the real deal, that we had all the answers, then we wouldn't be uncomfortable at all.
That's right.
For them. Well, with that thought, just allow us to pause a moment and regroup, and we'll be right back with part two.
And welcome to part two of episode 81 of God Beyond the Bible. Today's topic is raising our children to be spiritual seekers. We mentioned unconditional love and boundaries in part one. We left off with the idea of utilizing the church as a tool to at least introduce the concept of God in our children's lives. One thing we might point out that we think is important is to be sure that the overall message of the church you choose to introduce your children to is a positive message of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and etc.
Absolutely. You don't want to, if you can keep from it in any way, instill that sort of fear of God and that fear of wrongdoing, which, as we've discussed in past episodes, can really lead to some negative mental...
Yeah.
I'm not one to tout one denomination over another, but overall, of the ones I'm familiar with, mainstream denominations, the Methodists are the most
lovingly
forgiving.
Open,
they're
yes.
Yeah, open, forgiving, positive messages, you know, and that's pretty cool. Hats off to the Methodist
yes.
folks. They've tried really hard to move away from their legalistic roots, you know, and, mm-hmm. and things like that. Because yeah, back in the day, you know, of temperance movement and all that, through the Methodists were really
yes.
not.
And it's sometimes hard for me.
I'm not about 100 years ago.
Right, right. Well, and it's sometimes hard for me because in my mind, I guess I still associate the Methodist with that really hardcore, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I have to kind of pull that apart in my mind and go, that's not who they are.
Right.
So our experience has been that many of the churches who lean towards a legalistic dogma are much less apt to maintain and project a positive and unconditional love approach to the image of the Most High. This angry and unappeasable God approach can confuse and disappoint and frustrate any attempts to find God outside of their doctrine and dogma. These denominations may contribute to judgmental behavior among its followers, and it may adversely affect how our children view others.
And I'll say this, my kids are a little bit, they have first, let's see, 12 years, 13 years of their lives, you were
yeah.
their pastor.
Uh-huh.
So now they're going to a different church occasionally, and that other church is a great church with great people, but they kind of lean toward the legalistic a little.
Uh-huh.
And as my children have gotten older, they can come home and say, well, this is what we learned, and we can sit down and have an open discussion. Okay, well, what do you agree with on that? What do you
mm-hmm.
disagree with?
Yeah.
And I think it's important.
I think your daughter's quote is probably my favorite when I asked her what she thought. And she goes, well, I just want to, she goes, we can always agree that Jesus is good, and the rest of it's just kind of here and there.
Right.
So
that's good enough. That's good enough. I'm three.
Uh-huh.
We may find that our children's desire to attend is motivated more by their desire to make and see friends than seeking answers to life's big questions.
Right.
And just be cool with that. Allow them to develop at their own pace. But as a parent, they will look to us to point them in the direction we believe will best serve them.
And I will say that even, you know, when I was a teenager, we went to a church that had a fairly large teenage youth group. And that was a big part of my social life.
That was, yeah.
And we attended all of the church's functions together. The church took us on little trips and stuff. And that was a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And maybe we should look at those kind of things as individuals outside of looking for organizations to provide that for us. You know, I
right.
mean, I know Tabitha does, but create those things with other families that have children
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
they can interact with. And that's a good thing. We often just leave all of that up to some organization, the school, the church,
right.
leave
we
all that
do.
Up to someone. Yeah.
Use every day as a spiritual lesson. Don't try to explain why God did this or that, but just point out the divine energy at work in everyday life. And this will help you too.
Yes,
really,
yes,
it helps
yes, it will.
Me.
Yes.
Point out the beauty of nature that is here for our pleasure and our enjoyment. Show them that God is working through other people in places like our hospitals and nursing homes, how he calls and inspires people to devote their life to a career of helping others and relieving their suffering, how he inspires others to take on tasks and perform jobs that we would not do ourselves, or that we could not do ourselves, yet we as humanity benefit from their choices. And the kids and I talked about this. We recently, we lost an uncle
mm-hmm.
to cancer, and we
uh-huh.
talked about hospice and how they came in. And we've talked about it before, but man.
And those people have to be called.
Human
you,
form.
You can't do that unless you're called to
no,
that.
No, you cannot.
You
yeah.
won't last.
No.
No one would last working in the hospice area
no.
without being called, because it's just a calling.
Well, and show them how to see the Most High at work in the progress of humanity, how he gave us the earth and it feeds and provides for us, and how everything is in harmony and a delicate balance that sustains the billions of people who are on the planet at any given moment. We may point out how men and women through time have given their very lives to better humanity as a whole and bring truth and justice and freedom to a people.
And that's good. I listened to a woman here, I may have mentioned this before, but here a while back, and I don't even know what the topic was that I was listening to it. I think it was on YouTube, pretty sure it was. Most of my viewing is there. And YouTube ought to be giving us something for
right.
all of this. But anyway, I don't think they need anything from us. They're doing just fine. But anyway, she was talking about, have you ever sat and thought about how we're born into this world with everything we need? We come into this world with absolutely everything we need. And actually, we can survive in this world without any of the complications we put in life. But then we start complicating life. Well, I want this, and I want that, and I want a nice house, and I want a car, and I want all this, and I want to be able to eat in these nice restaurants, and I want to be able to, and then do you see how life just gets more and more complicated? And I'm going to go to school. I'm going to have some debt. I'm going to have, but she said, stop and go back to that thought. God provided everything we needed when we came into this world, or we wouldn't have came into the world.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That is very
good.
And he doesn't stop doing that. We just want more than just being provided. We want, it's one we desire.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having these things, but guys, we're the ones. Humanity complicates life. This life is not complicated from the beginning.
It's not. And I love the things that talk about simplifying your life and, making things easier on your day-to-day. And there was a lady that I read one of her articles, and this is a little bit off topic, but it gets the same idea. She said, one of the things that I did is I spent years shopping and buying clothes. I need clothes to go to work, clothes to go to church, clothes to... And she said, I finally went through my closet, and I found these 3 outfits that I really liked. And I went to the store, and I bought me 3 more of the same outfit. She said, that gave me... She said, in total, it gave me 13 outfits to choose from.
Uh-huh.
And she said they were all 3 of the same colors, 3 of the same. But she said it made my life so easy because I was always wearing one of these outfits. I never had to stress about things matching with each other. And she said that little bit of
simplification. Yeah.
She said it gave me in the morning that I could go out and drink a cup of coffee and sit and watch the sunrise because I knew when I went in there to go to work, it was going to be that outfit.
Huh.
And it's those little things in life that we sometimes forget because
of course, ego could slip in there. Are these people going to think I'm wearing this?
Right.
Yeah. There's where we get complicated. There's all of the complications that come in. I think I'm 6. We encourage you to utilize Jesus' stories, his parables, his proverbs, and examples of the nature of who God really is. We may be surprised what our children may see in the master's methods and teaching that has eluded us as adults. Instead of giving them our interpretation, see, that's the problem we have. We're always giving people, we've got to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And what we teach them is our interpretation. Well, instead of giving them our interpretation about what Jesus said, ask them why they think Jesus said this or told this story, and etc. Our children will develop a solid spiritual perspective if we demonstrate a healthy spiritual perspective ourselves.
And I think another one of those things that I know, because Tabby lets me kind of co-parent with her kids. They're my niece and nephew.
It takes a village. Yeah. That's why we are around here. Yeah.
And they get so much more even out of nature. I was riding with Blake in a truck one day, and he goes, you know what's really cool? So what, bud? He goes, that whole woods out there, he said, in 100 years, if a person doesn't come cut it down, it's still going to be woods out there. It might not be all the same trees, but there'll be new ones.
Yeah, and that's true.
And, and I'll say this, though. I'm kind of like a teacher at heart. I always have been. So it's hard for me not to put, this has been a huge one for me, stepping back. And even if they see something that I don't out of the parable or out of our life lesson or out of whatever we're talking about, it's just going, okay, they can feel that way right now because my thoughts change and they evolve and
there again, see, we're boundary setters and we often get in that one mode that we need to just limit and set boundaries is all our job, our main job. And it's really not that we often stifle the creativity in our children because...
And one thing that
and we do it because we want to protect them. We've got all the right motives in mind, but we just, in a way, we kind of want to make them just like us.
We do. And one thing that I've started doing with my kids, because kids are imitators. They're going to parrot what you say, good and bad. Yes. you know,
they're gonna adopt your philosophies of life.
They do, and that's fine. But I've started asking my kids if I hear them parrot something I've said, I'll go back and say, okay, why do you think that? Why is that your?
Because
stance?
You say it all the time.
and if they can't give me, I'll tell them it's okay that you are saying this, but know why. And I tell them that with everything, know why you believe. And we started that early on with Bible learning. That's fine. I want you to believe in God and know that he's real, but you have to know why in your heart, not just because mom says so.
I like one of course everyone knows that I'm a little bit Buddhist at heart, you know, but one of the things the Buddha said is every man must work out his salvation for himself.
Yes.
And I think that we want to sort of lead kids to
Did Paul not kind of say that when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? I think it was, I may be attributing that. It might not have been Paul, but there is a writer that said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, not to be, but just seek it out and figure it out for yourself, you know, that you're right. Because I think that to me, the fear and trembling is not fearing that God's going to get, but that you may not be getting the whole story.
Right. Yeah.
You may, there may be something more to it. Maybe you don't have it all figured out.
And it is scary to sort of step out of your comfort zone and walk into the unknown, to sort of, as you've said before, to dive into the doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so allow us a moment to regroup, and we're going to be right back with part three.
And welcome to part three of episode 81 of God Beyond the Bible. Today's episode topic is for Natalie and for every one of us who are concerned about our children's spiritual development and their concept and image of the positive energy force that we call God.
Well, unfortunately, like most of life's challenges, there are no cut and dried one size fits all to any facet of child rearing. It should bring a smile to our faces when we hear someone say, I raised all of my kids just alike. If that's possible, it's not effective to say the least. As any parent knows, every child is very different. They are supposed to be. That within itself is a miracle.
It is.
That there can be 7 billion people occupying this planet, and even those we call identical twins aren't.
I'm trying to imagine Dad trying to raise you and I the same, because Tabby and I are best friends, but we are polar opposites in the way that we approach things.
Definitely. So the best we can do, as we've attempted to do in the first two parts, is to make some suggestions for your consideration. We've already pointed out that we think that what we think is most important of all, and that is for any child to know that he or she is loved unconditionally. And children need us to demonstrate it, not just say it. And guys, your home needs to be that safe place.
Yeah, I've always told my girls that, raising them up, and they can remember that. This is a safe place. No one comes here. No one touches you here. No one is going to come in here. Don't matter what happens at school. Don't matter. This is a safe place.
Yes.
And
my childhood, I never felt like that growing. I never really felt like all the time that my home was the safest place.
And I can't imagine growing up and not feeling, because it was when you walk in the doors of our home growing up.
Everything's okay.
It was all going to be okay.
And it was palpable enough that I know for Tabby and I that our friends experienced that. And we spent a lot of time with our friends coming and saying, poor Dad, he was usually the only guy in the house, and we'd have 3 or 4 friends over every weekend because they felt that safety and that calm peace as well. Am I number 4?
Mm-hmm.
All right. When our children sense our unconditional love, they'll return it to us. But not only that, they will look to us for their example, especially if we demonstrate a spiritual peace that they can observe and admire.
And I want to jump in, and this may not be the best place, but one thing that's really important is let kids feel what they're feeling. you know, if they're having a bad day or they're upset or they're cranky, let them have that feeling. Because we can have bad days. We can be upset. Yeah. We can be cranky. Yeah. But you snap out of it.
We're not having that. We don't do that around here. You do.
Right. No, and that's a really good point, because I've never really thought of that before. But I can be cranky all day, but I don't want them to be cranky. Yeah.
Right.
We may not realize it, but our children need equal portions of positive and negative reinforcement. That is, they need to be encouraged as well as disciplined. Many of us today are products of a lifetime of having our shortcomings pointed out and little in the way of positive reinforcement. That type of parenting leaves us struggling for an approval we may never seem to be able to get. This causes us to spend much of our life questioning our own self-worth. If this is how we felt as we grew up, don't repeat the cycle. We need to be sensitive to how we were affected and draw from that experience.
And this is one of those situations, again, because my husband grew up in that he was in the way, mm-hmm. as a kid. I mean, I don't know how else.
Well, he was an appendage.
It.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I know exactly how that is. Yeah, you're just an appendage. You're just a problem. You know, I've got to feed you. I've got to clothe you. I've mm-hmm. got to. What do you contribute to this family? Yeah. What are you contributing here?
And when we got married and we would spend time with the kids, one particular day he got cranky with Blake. And I sent Bubba home and I talked to Steve, and he's like, well, I was talked like that. People talk to me like that all the time when I was growing up. And I said, so how did that make you feel when people talk to you that way? I said, I understand that people did it to you all the time. I said, but when you were 8 or 9 years old, how did you feel? And he sat there for a little bit. He goes, I want you to call Blake up here. He said, I want to apologize to him.
Yeah.
Because it's just that it's so easy to perpetuate those cycles.
Yeah, that's what I say. Stop the cycle. Break the cycle, people.
And it's like, though, he didn't do it on purpose.
No.
It was
reflex.
It was reflex. Mm-hmm. But he took a moment and he was able to see. And that, now they're so close. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I do. Yeah. He's Uncle Steve this, Uncle Steve that. He just thinks Steve is the stuff now. Yeah. Which is good. I'm glad he does. 6? Didn't I just do 5?
I don't know who's.
Yes, I did. It's you, Tabitha.
Okay.
Yes.
So we found that what we all need, especially as children, is to feel safe. And this includes their relationship with God. So we think that reinforcing the idea that we came from God and he loves us and he is with us and he knows just how to bring us back to his presence when the time comes is paramount in them developing a loving relationship with the Creator. Often, even as children, we can become frustrated and confused when we encounter doctrines that define us as being sanctioned by an organization as saved or lost.
Yeah, and I'm growing farther and farther away from that the more that I look at that. What a terrible thing it is that the organization needs to sanction. You need to do this, and then we'll tell you you're okay.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most terrifying things on this idea of saved and lost is, if I can say this from a child who grew up, don't scare your children into belief, please.
No.
I know how easy it is to do, but at 7 or 8 or 9 years old, talking about everyone who doesn't believe going to hell really is maybe not the best way mm-mm. to lead them into a relationship with God.
Absolutely not. And I've made that mistake. Trayson's talking about me, and I've made that mistake from the pulpit, not personally.
No.
I don't think.
Well,
personal
and
pressure,
looking
but.
Back, I hope that I didn't make that mistake with my kids. Like, I believe that they were both saved, 6, 7 years old.
I'm going to be honest with you. They came in here saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. But in my early on growing up years of parenting, you know, it was because I had that fear of, okay, well, what happens if something happens to them and they're not where they should
be,
you know.
Am I 7?
I think so.
So teach them that the energy we put out into the world comes back to us. You can call it karma if that's what you want to label it as, or reaping what you sow, or the law of echoes, or whatever phrasing works for you. We should demonstrate to them, though, how we are products of the decision and the choices that we have made.
And let me throw in here, it's okay to say, you know, I made a bad choice back, and I'm still reaping.
Yes. Please be honest with your kids. That was something that if you can't admit that you messed something up, if you can't apologize when you make a mistake, how are you going to teach them?
Your children are not going to be crushed by your failure.
No.
They're going to be crushed if you fail to help them develop this positive way of life. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be crushed by seeing you fail. In fact, they're going to be encouraged. Well, okay, it's all right. It's not so bad to fail because mom can fail and dad mm-hmm. can fail. And look, they pick up the pieces mm-hmm. and move on with life. I guess it's me somewhere.
Eight.
Okay. Help them learn to draw on that positive power and energy that is in them to guide them to the choices that are right for them. Help them to learn to trust their inner voice. A lot of us seem to be products of being told we can't trust that voice and we need someone else or an organization to tell us what that voice is saying.
And that's just so not true. You know instinctively, because I can remember being a child, and you know instinctively that that story you're about to tell to keep you out of trouble is wrong to tell.
Sure.
You know instinctively yeah. what's wrong and what's right. It kind of goes back to that something I kind of teased Tabby's kids about sometimes is if you have to ask, you probably already know that it's wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to trust. We need to trust that same internal divine force that has brought us through everything that we've experienced and brought us to where we are. And that trust or that divine force will do the same for our children. Just consider that if we give them what spiritual encouragement and guidance we can, and then they take that and build a lifetime on it, then they will have a better spiritual walk than we ever dreamed of having.
Yes. So, do you guys have anything else to add?
I think that's it. That's
all right. Natalie, I hope this starts you down the right path, and please email us with any comments yeah. or any more questions that you have.
Hopefully you found a piece or two, a little gem in here hopefully. Maybe you can use.
And as always, may God's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on you, in you, and radiate out from each of you. And the world will be a better place because of you, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible. Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.